760 The Quest, your Atlantic Catholic radio, presents The Morning Quest, finding joy in the journey. Now, here's Josh and Allison.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to The Morning Quest with Josh Harris and the real talent behind this whole shindig, Allison DeLuhl.
You are funny. Good morning.
Oh, you're the greatest. We are so excited to be here with you this morning. It's going to be a riveting show. Just the best in the business. You're welcome. But before we do anything, well, I say we open in prayer. How does that sound?
Perfect.
All right. In the name of the Father, Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. I'm going to go with the greatest hits because we need all the help we can get. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
And Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Glory be to the Father, Son, Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end.
In
Amen.
Jesus' name. Thank you guys so much. Hey, we need to bring in the big guns. Now it's time for our rosary. No, I'm just kidding. Allison, I think we have a pretty exciting show planned today. Do you you got a teaser of what's on the lineup?
We sure do. We are going to be hearing from Father Silloway from All Saints in Dunwoody. He's going to be talking about the highlights of the National Eucharistic Congress.
Oh, that's wonderful. And we have a special, special segment from our friend Chuck Persner, a.k.a. the Chuck Stop. He's going to be unpacking today's Saint John Baptiste de La Salle with the greatest saint scholar in America, Chuck Persner. And we're going to be diving into the world with Father Mark White. Man, just, yeah, he always does such a great job unpacking God's word.
He sure does. And we also are going to be with Alan Austin. He works for the Archdiocese of Atlanta. He is the lead for young adult ministries and campus ministries as well. So we got a great conversation coming up with him.
That is so exciting, Allison. You always do the best interviews. Now, I will not be here, just for those listeners who are curious, towards the end of the show, because I am heading to perform and speak at a pro-life event in Arkansas. It's actually a fundraiser for a pregnancy resource center. So I am super thrilled about that. However, you know what else is thrilling, Allison? Celebrating. And we did some celebrating on Monday after our first show aired.
Yes, we did.
And we were pretty excited. I hope you guys liked it. It was pretty thrilling for me. And what did we do to celebrate after?
We all went out for breakfast. It was so nice.
It was very nice. Now, I didn't realize some items on this menu are delicious and dangerous. Pumpkin pie pancakes? Are you serious?
And they were filled as well with cream.
Pumpkin pie, cream-filled pancakes with drizzled pralines and caramel. Let me tell you, you take one bite of those, you're like, you know what? Forget my dreams today. I'm good, okay? I'm just calling in sick to life. Hey, look, I think they're delicious, but they come with a side of confession, I'm pretty sure. I really wanted them, though, to be honest. They looked incredible.
Well, you did a good job refraining.
Yeah, I took a few extra glances. It was pretty tempting, but, you know, I had to say some prayers. Lord, lead me not to temptation. But it was, yeah, looked pretty good. Did you go healthy?
I did. Veggie omelet. Oh, forth my raisin toast.
You could have had whole wheat.
I could have held whole wheat. I splurged.
I'm going to tell your trainer.
I'm going to tell your trainer, too.
I was on good behavior.
True. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, we both have the same, we're both working with the same trainer, so.
Yeah, we are working with the same trainer. He is, yeah, very, very fit guy, and he has blessed us with a few segments on air as well.
Well, he will be blessing us with some segments coming up.
And Dave, you had a healthy snack for breakfast yesterday, didn't you?
It was the big Texas omelet. Had gravy on it.
Oh, my God.
I asked for a side of Lipitor.
God, yeah. I thought that was going to come with an EKG machine or something.
It was huge.
It was good.
It looked incredible, but yeah, I mean, it was I don't even know, man. It looked like a sleeping bag or something. It was huge.
Covered with cheese and gravy and, yeah, it was good.
There you go.
Oh, but it was nice. Bonding as a group, you know, just a celebratory breakfast, you know, after the kickoff of our show.
Well, and really, I don't know probably most listeners don't know this, but this show kicked off yesterday, the first one. It's been years, honestly, years in the making. Mm-hmm. So, it was such a celebration to have the first show on, and now the second show.
Didn't you say, when was it, 2020 was when they were kind of conceptualizing
January, just before the pandemic, yeah.
So, COVID kind of killed the plans.
Yeah,
right,
but I started here in January 22, and we've been working on it ever since then.
Wow.
Trying to find the right people, and we found you.
Hopefully the right people.
Thank goodness for monster.com. That's all.
Coming up next, we are going to be talking with Father Silloway from All Saints in Dunwoody. He is going to be sharing with us the highlights of the National Eucharistic Congress.
AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic radio. You're listening to The Morning Quest, finding joy in the journey with Josh and Allison.
We have the privilege of sitting down with someone who we are both big fans of, Father Michael Silloway, who had the privilege of attending the National Eucharistic Congress. There's so much to unpack here, but why don't you just give us a little taste of what is this all about?
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for having me, too. The National Eucharistic Congress was an incredible moment. As they even said in kind of their tagline as they're preparing for this thing, they're like, every movement needs a moment. And so this whole movement comes from this idea that the church in the United States in particular, but across the world in general, we have a waning understanding of the true presence of Jesus Christ in the Eucharist. You may remember a couple of years ago, this study came out. I can't remember which research organization did this, but ask Catholics, the people in the pews and anybody who really just calls themselves a Catholic, do you believe that Jesus Christ is actually present in the Eucharist? And the vast majority of people said, not quite. Wow. Like, so it was something around 30% said that they strongly believed that. And it was kind of a wake-up moment for the church in America, but particularly for the bishops. Be like, we've missed something. We have been not leading our people in fidelity to what Jesus Christ gave us. So it started this movement of saying we need to bring about Eucharistic revival, have people encounter the Eucharistic Lord in a fresh way, theologically speaking, spiritually speaking, and just in their own personal lives. Like, this is the greatest gift Jesus gave to us, and we fumbled the football in a really big way. And so it was kind of a wake-up moment. So the idea of the movement was, let's take 3 years to prepare for the 10th National Eucharistic Congress. There's been 9 congresses before this one, throughout the course of the church in the United States history.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I don't remember exactly where the last one was. There was an International Eucharistic Congress in Philadelphia, but back in the 1940s, there was the last National Eucharistic Congress. We're talking 80 years ago. Wow. And they wanted to have 3 years to prepare for this Eucharistic Congress. And there was supposed to be like a lot of initiatives within the diocese and within each individual parish. Not a whole lot was done with that, to be honest, but a lot, all the energy was put forward into, let's have this moment where we bring the church in America together, anybody who can make it, and we're going to meet in Indianapolis, and we're going to host the 10th National Eucharistic Congress. And it was amazing. Truly, I believe a definitive moment for the church in the United States.
Wow. And I've seen photos of that Coliseum or that stadium.
It was the Lucas Oil Stadium in Indianapolis where the Colts play.
Wow.
Yeah. Where Peyton Manning became the GOAT, all this.
Wow. And the real GOAT was in the room, right?
The true greatest of all time. Exactly.
Exactly. And so I think about this snapshot. In some of the photos or videos I've seen, it really looked like a foretaste of heaven. I mean, everybody, all nations, all tribes, all tongues, just loving Christ in reverent adoration and celebration.
I wish I could show a picture through the airwaves so I could show you, and it's a literal picture I took, but it's ingrained so deep in my own mind and my own heart. So we're in that stadium every night of the Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday nights for 3-hour revival session. And I like to go up into the very nosebleeds, the very top of the stadium. Oh, I'm talking literally, there's no seats higher. you're above all the press boxes and everything. But you're looking down on this entire stadium and you see all the people. There's over 5,000 people on the floor, the field of the stadium. Mm-hmm. But then the stands are full of people as well. But kind of what I guess would be somewhere around like the 35-yard line is the altar. And you have people all around the altar, and then you have the stage behind it in the end zone far at the other end of the stadium. So the altar was kind of in the middle, almost wow. to the middle. And so just everybody gathered around the Lord, praising him. And for these holy hours, they would usually dim the lights with just spotlights coming down onto our Lord and the Eucharist. And you just kind of get that faint haze of the incense rising up.
Wow.
And people singing or sitting in silence, just adoration. There's beautiful adoration. It was everything we had heard throughout the course of the day through these impact sessions. The big banger Catholic speakers we've got right now, they were all there sharing, giving yeah. witnesses and testimonies and teachings. And all of it coming together, it's like you use that word foretaste. Mm. Yeah, it felt like heaven, wow. especially being there and being able to see just down on the whole stadium of all the people gathered around, all hearts, minds locked in on Jesus Christ right there in the middle.
Oh my goodness. I'm just floored hearing that. I've heard that people saying that that's really what it was like, just this moment of where heaven and earth intersected. Obviously in the Eucharist, but just in the air, you could feel the unifying force, as well as I've heard that it is the only time anyone has ever experienced a room full of 60,000 people where you could hear a pin drop.
Definitely. Mm. Definitely. So when the Eucharist would be processed in for the beginning of the Holy Hour, we'd sing on the first night, they sang the Pange Lingua and then into the O Salutaris, the typical hymns that lead up into adoration. Silence.
Wow.
And just so incredibly peaceful. Not even like a cell phone going wow. off randomly. Like wow. that happens all the time everywhere, but it didn't happen there. And there's a lot of families brought their little kids. Mm-hmm. No, like screaming children, like, which would have been wonderful, by the way, which would have been a church that's not crying is dying. But like everybody just honed in and yeah, you could absolutely a stadium of 60,000 people and it was dead silent in worship and adoration. And then there would be some music. And each night there was a different theme to the Holy Hour that we'd have. So different styles of prayer. But I want to share that in another time when we can get back together and just share some of those graces. Mm-hmm. But yeah, my heart is, I want to hope forever changed. And I want it to stay changed by that experience there and not just let it be something that happened in Indianapolis back in July, but something that is impacting me as a priest and as a disciple of Jesus Christ. But also as a pastor shepherding the people of All Saints. I'm the pastor of All Saints Catholic Church, by the way, the best parish in the Archdiocese of Atlanta. And but letting the fire that the Lord ignited there in the hearts of all the people go out. And so that's why I kind of want to take a few opportunities with y'all to continue just diving into what happened at this incredible event.
Mm. So some of the speakers and some of those that were there playing music, can you give us more information about that?
Oh, man, pretty much if you've heard of them before.
They were there.
They were there. It's so like the ones that stick out like in the top of my memory. You had Jonathan Rumi, the guy who plays Jesus on The Chosen.
Yeah.
You had Bishop Robert Barron. You had Father Mike Schmitz. You had Mother Adela. You had Mother Olga. You had Sister Miriam James was one of the principal MCs, along with Father Josh Johnson, who does a lot of stuff with Ascension. Bishop Andrew Cousins, the bishop of Crookston, Minnesota, who's kind of the
quarterback of the whole thing, right?
Yeah, exactly.
He's the head of
exactly.
the conference.
So he led the opening sessions and kind of different highlights throughout. Sister Josephine Garrett, other names are escaping me in the moment, but I mean, how could I forget? Matt Maher was doing music. Sarah Kroger was doing music. Yeah. The Vigil Project was doing music.
The Vigil Project was there?
The Vigil Project was there. Cool. Floriani, this incredible group of, it's just four dudes who want to kind of help bring about revitalization of chant and polyphony within the liturgy. They had one of the holy hours. So like all of these different expressions I should say it this way, all these different hearts that have been impacted by the Lord in different ways and called in different ways, all sharing their gifts and the Holy Spirit using all of it to just really inspire the church.
That is amazing. Well, I am so inspired and I am thrilled for us to continue this in part two, where we are going to unpack a whole lot more. Prayer, how this is pushing the church forward, saints.
Hi, I'm Father John Ricardo. Join me for Christ is the Answer today at noon. But now, let's return to the Morning Quest with Josh and Allison on AM 1160, The Quest.
It's 8:18.
Excited to bring you today's gospel, but we have a expert and fan favorite, none other than Father Mark White, unpacking today's gospel reading. Father, how are you doing today? We are so excited to have you.
It's great to be here, and a really special gospel that we probably all heard before. There's a lot of riches in this gospel that it's going to be fun to unpack.
Father White, you're joining us from Washington, Georgia. Is that correct? Am I?
Actually, no, it's Thompson.
Thompson,
so I live
Georgia.
In Thompson, okay. But I'm in charge of, you know, St. Joseph's in Washington and Queen of Angels in Thompson. So Mary and Joseph.
Love it.
30 minutes apart. It's good to be down here and good to be with you guys on the radio.
Well, it's too much priest in this guy for just one parish. So what an honor.
All right.
Well, we are so excited to have you. Will you tee us off with this gospel reflection, Father?
Absolutely. Absolutely. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. The mother of Jesus and his brothers came to him, but were unable to join him because of the crowd. He was told, "Your mother and your brothers are standing outside, and they wish to see you." He said to them in reply, "My mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and act on it." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you,
Lord Jesus Christ.
So yeah, this is a gospel that maybe a lot of us have heard before. And you know, I don't know if you guys are familiar with what our Protestant brothers and sisters tend to say about this gospel.
Well, Allison, do you have some thoughts, right?
You know, when you listen to this, you know, was Jesus, it sounds like he might be minimizing Mary, right? Because my mother and my brothers are all those who hear the word of God and act on it, and not necessarily calling out her mom, his mom, and our mom.
Right. You know, she's there. And then it almost sounds like he's like has an opportunity to honor her. And then he kind of sets her aside. And unfortunately, our Protestant brothers and sisters will say that at times, kind of, I think, being a little bit defensive about our understanding of Our Lady, you know, and how special she is. But really, I think if you read this more deeply, Jesus is actually honoring his mother. The way we can see that is when we look at the interpretation of this gospel, you know, what is Jesus trying to emphasize? He's trying to emphasize that our deepest bond and connection with people from God's perspective is our spiritual union as being members of the body of Christ. You know, that we are closer to those that live in accord with the will of God in Christ, or we should be, than any other members, even of our own family. You know, now it's always beautiful when you have a member in your own family that is also a committed Christian or Catholic, and you are as well. So there's a special bond because you're in the same family, and then you also have the same spiritual fidelity, the same God, and you're committed, especially when they're Catholic as well. So when you read this, that's what he's wanting to emphasize. So he's not taking a shot at his mom. And remember, when you think about it, it makes sense when you think about it like this. You know, who was more faithful to Jesus than Our Lady?
Yeah.
Nobody.
The ultimate,
she is the ultimate disciple. She loved him perfectly. She's the only human person to ever love God perfectly. Think about that.
Yes.
You know, she never failed to love him perfectly. What a consolation and a joy that would have been to him. Now, he's focusing on another group of people he's teaching right here, but really in saying that spiritual fidelity to one another and to God is the most important thing to God. He's saying, you know, basically he's honoring Our Lady. And so you have to read that deeper in, but that's what he's saying. And he's reminding us that, you know, the most important thing in our lives is not, you know, success in our career in and of itself, you know, the way we look, even the way we take care of ourselves, exercising, how much money we make, how well we do in school, all those things are important. But the most important thing is, am I hearing God's voice in my life, and am I obedient to his voice so that I'm living in accord with his will, and I'm experiencing that deep communion with him and others who also do that, that ultimately that's eternity right there. I mean, that's where we kind of as Christians, as Catholic Christians, that's where our focus needs to be each and every day. You know, you simplify it, you say, what would Jesus do? You know, but I think it's even better to say, how would Jesus be in this situation? Wow. And even say a prayer, Lord, you're here with me. How can I be your instrument in this moment? Or your truly your follower, your disciple, but your brother and your son. Heavenly Father, help me to be that in this moment, because I am a member of your mystical body. And then also asking for the intercession of Our Lady, who did that perfectly. Nobody ever did it better. And she has such a special role in helping us to do it that way. And really, this is all implicit here in this gospel, because, you know, that's why we have to read everything in light of all the scriptures.
Yeah.
And so Jesus would have said this in a moment, trying to emphasize this, but he also knows how faithful his mother is, and he knows the depth of who she is, which you know, is revealed really more gradually to us.
So Father, this is so beautiful, but what I'm thinking, you know, when we go through struggles, or if somebody is not feeling that closeness, right, and is not feeling the that bond, the obedience to listen and to follow, what would you say to somebody that is struggling to even realize that Christ is there and to listen, right, to do his will?
And to particularly in the sense to realize that we are called to be in his family.
Yes.
That's a great question. I think, you know, one of the things we want to do is learn to listen to God. I think we might assume that it's, you know, it should be easy to listen to God. And since I don't hear his voice, you know, that's God, you know, God's not speaking to me, you know, but I really believe, you know, cultivating that inner ear, we could call it the spiritual ear, to hear God's voice through all the circumstances of my life. And then in a special way, he speaks through his word, through his church, through church teaching, and learning to pray. Those are things that we learn over time, and we do need to work at those things. You know, you don't have to do everything in one day, but be gradual and intentional. Learn to cultivate a habit of getting in the scriptures, maybe having some sort of Bible study in your life, reading through the Bible, maybe Father Mike Schmidt's, his program. There's a lot of little devotions on Hallow, different things on, you know, tune into the radio and start hearing God's word and understanding how he speaks to us through it. And then you will begin to understand that he's been talking to you all along. He just tells me this, and I don't know about you guys, but he says, your problem, Father Mark, or he didn't say father to me, son, is that you don't hear me a lot of times because you're hard of hearing. And we have to recognize that the problem with us not hearing God is not God not speaking, is that we tend to be hard of hearing, and we're not trying to listen to him.
Amen. What a—
And understanding how he speaks and the way he speaks to the saints and to others can help as well.
Amen. Father, what a poignant note to sign off on. So I hope that we all cultivate those spiritual ears so we can be receptive to all God has for us.
I'm Dave Savage, and from Catholic Vote, yesterday we reported that, talked about it on the show, Kamala Harris will not attend the Al Smith dinner hosted by the New York Archdiocese on October 17th. That breaks a long-standing tradition. Now, Donald Trump called her out on it, basically her contentious history with American Catholics after she became the first major party presidential nominee since 1984 to skip that L. Smith dinner. That's a beloved Catholic event that benefits children. Trump said, quote, "I don't know what she has against our Catholic friends, but it must be a lot because she certainly hasn't been very nice to them. In fact, Catholics are literally being persecuted by this administration," end quote. And I like this story. Harrison Butker, the Kansas City Chiefs kicker, has surpassed his teammate Travis Kelce in NFL merchandise sales this spring. Mm. And I like it. I don't wish any ill will toward Travis Kelce at all, but I just like the fact that Harrison Butker is doing so well.
Yes.
He's so popular. According to a September 19th report from U.S. Weekly, this is Butker's first appearance on the list, making him only the second place kicker in history to reach the top 50. Butker ranked number 11 in player sales. You remember back in the spring, Harrison Butker, he was an active member. He is an active member of the Catholic Church. And then on May 11th, he delivered the commencement address for the class of 2024 at Benedictine College. Mm-hmm. Remember that?
Very
controversial.
Yeah.
And, well, I mean, some people thought it was anyway. So basically, Butker is number 11. Travis Kelce is number 12 in the sales. Even with his recent fame garnered from his relationship with pop superstar Taylor Swift, who recently endorsed Democratic presidential nominee Kamala Harris. And despite getting significant backlash for his commencement address, Butker signed a new four-year, $26.5 million contract with the Kansas City Chiefs, making him the highest-paid kicker in NFL history.
Wow.
Hi, this is Anna Mitchell. Join Matt Swaim and me tomorrow morning from 6 to 8 for the Sunrise Morning Show on AM 1160 The Quest. But now, let's return to the Morning Quest on your Atlanta Catholic Radio.
A few showers this morning with some sunshine this afternoon. High of 90, currently 72. It's 8:32. We are so excited to have back in the studio with us Chuck Persner. He is a parishioner at St. Michael the Archangel in Woodstock, Georgia. Good morning, Chuck.
Good morning, Allison. And Josh, good to see both.
Well, it's good to see you.
Which saint are we going to dive into today?
And you better impress me.
All right. That's pressure. That's what we call pressure.
You'll be fine.
Back in the old days, yeah. Well, you know, we have a very interesting saint today. But I do want to cover one item of business first, and I'm sure you both know this, and I'm sure most of our listeners know this, but today is National Punctuation Day.
Wow. I didn't know that.
How about that?
Wow.
Question mark. I didn't know that. Question mark. Let's just get this straight here. Right? And to that point, Josh, I was going to get you a present, comma, but I forgot.
Oh, man.
Yes.
Well, that's the end of our friendship, period.
You guys are good.
Hard stop. In fact, I want to get both of your opinions on this before we get into the saint. Exclamation points. Friend or foe?
I'm a friend.
Yeah.
I think I overuse them. I kind of catch myself in text messages, and I'm going on all cylinders with the exclamation points, and I'm like, we got to scale some of these back. I can't be this excited.
You're just so excited. I'm excited. Yeah.
Everything.
See, I don't like them. And it, for instance, in a text message, I was thinking about this on the way. If, for instance, you and I were out on a walk, mm-hmm. and I walk ahead of you and I see a grizzly bear, mm-hmm. and I would text you, right? That's what I would do. I would text you and I'd say, Josh, I see a grizzly bear off to the left. I don't think that needs an exclamation point. You understand the ramifications of being mauled by a grizzly bear. I don't think you need that exclamation point.
Yeah, I guess. But if you're that cool around grizzly bears, I got other questions for you, man.
That's true. Well, you know, like I said, I'm tough.
You are, yeah.
Under pressure.
But I see your point. I mean, it'd be baked in. I think you would be getting a lot of exclamation points from me. If you just heard me react to seeing a grizzly bear, watch out. You know, I might emit a high-pitched squeal, and that we couldn't catch that on camera. No.
No, no. Well, grizzly bears notwithstanding, how's that for a segue? Today, we celebrate because he is the patron saint of teachers.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And in a particular way, I was telling Allison before we went on the air, it seems like the English teachers here in America have taken a particular fondness to the man I'm about to talk about. And that is, of course, St. John Baptiste de La Salle.
Mm.
Okay, that's the guy today. You know, he was a patron saint of teachers, and he was a Frenchman. Born back in the year 1651. He died in April 7th in the year 1719. canonized really not that long ago, in the year 1900, by Pope Leo XIII, mm-hmm. a great, great pope from our church. And now I understand, Allison, you were reading his bio before we went on the air, and you were fascinated by certain things about his youth. And why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. So he was the eldest of 10 siblings to a wealthy family, and he began his priestly studies at the early age of 11. I am blown away. I mean, that is absolutely amazing.
Wow, 11 years old. He must have really needed a job.
Yeah, really.
that's just a different level of holiness, man. Wow, to jump in that early. And it's incredible to hear. It sounds like he really pioneered the education system back then. And I mean, it really has an enduring impact even to this day. Am I correct on that?
I would say so. Yeah, in fact, Allison's got more on that.
I do. You know what? He had a faithful encounter with Adrian Nile, a Catholic teacher who was about to open a school for underprivileged boys. And so John selflessly bestowed his inheritance, his wealth, upon the work for, you know, teaching and helping the poor, wow. poor children. Poor
Great
boys.
Example of using our time, talent, and treasure. Right? We're
Absolutely.
All called to do that in the ways that we can. And in his particular case, not only did he have an affinity for teaching young boys, and he saw the need for it because mm-hmm. there were so many underprivileged boys at the time in Reims, France, but he was able to, he had the resources, but he also had the desire to really want to put those to work for the kingdom of God.
And a beautiful quote from St. John Baptiste de La Salle: "You too can perform miracles by touching the hearts of the children confined to your care." I mean, what a great quote for every single teacher out there, as well as parents, grandparents, you know, uncles. Being that love to those and touching their hearts, it transforms the lives of the children around you.
Yeah, and it's particularly timely now with the kids getting back to school. They're probably back now for a few months, and everybody's kind of settling into their classes and their teachers, and relationships are starting to be formed mm-hmm. and fostered and nourished. So it is a good reminder. It takes a special soul to be a teacher, you know, Josh. That's not an easy
job. Yeah, especially if I'm the student, am I right? I agree. And this guy, what patience. I mean, he introduced several innovative practices within education. So, you know, pre-Vatican II, obviously. But there's some foreshadowing of really connecting with people in the common language, like Vatican II, so I think beautifully did. He was teaching people in their vernacular instead of Latin. This is something he introduced mm-hmm. at the time, which made education more accessible for local wow. people, depending on what regions they were in. Obviously, if you're in some, you know, far on place, you might not have the resources to learn Latin, and yet here he is presenting, you know, educational content to them in ways that they can actually digest it. And really also emphasizing the importance of training teachers in establishing a teacher training college, which he did. So, I mean, he's not just making sure the kids are educated, but the educators are educated. So, I mean, what a gift that he was giving this community and I guess ultimately the world.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, this program that he established grew and grew, and so many others wanted to be a part of it. And, you know, the tragedy of a school system that fails, and, you know, it's not to say that our school system's failing, but we could always improve it. And there's always going to be some kids that tragically fall through the cracks. But it's really nice to see, like in this particular program that he put together, you know, these young children were exposed to things, you know, these impoverished children were exposed to things that they wouldn't have otherwise had a chance to see.
Mm.
That is beautiful. Another quote. I love finding quotes from our saints. "Do not have any anxiety about the future. Leave everything in God's hands, for he will take care of you." So no matter what we're doing.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Anxiety. There's that word. You know, it's on the way here, I was listening yesterday, actually, to Dr. Ray Guarendi, who's going to have a book all out on anxiety. That's going to be the topic.
Really?
And what he had mentioned. Yeah. Yeah. I'm looking forward to that one because I've got some people who battle that in my life. And of course, I'd like to read it so I can help them.
Yeah.
But I want to give them copies, too. And it's really the number one reason, according to Dr. Ray, that people do go for counseling.
Wow.
Psychiatric care, anxiety, it's all out there. So, you know, we've got to let go of it all and trust God.
Amen.
Amen, amen. So what else did this guy do? He developed models and methods such as group teaching, allowing more students to be educated simultaneously, and the use of modern subjects in the curriculum beyond just the traditional classic studies.
Yeah.
So, yeah, really prepping
Very
these
innovative.
People to make an imprint in the culture and society that they're living in. Right, with that, I'm sure, a harmonic integration of past and present.
Yeah, but that's a mouthful. Can you say that again?
Harmonic integration of the past and present. If you didn't get it, I was actually educated by St. John Baptiste de La Salle. That's how I have.
Don't look that old. It's amazing.
Yeah, Botox really hits the spot.
Oh, Josh. Thank you, Chuck, so much for being here and inspiring us with our wonderful saint today.
It is my pleasure. And St. John Baptiste de La Salle.
Pray for us.
AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic radio. You're listening to The Morning Quest, finding joy in the journey with Josh and Allison.
I'm not Josh. As we said earlier, Josh is on his way to the airport right now. He's got a speaking engagement tonight in Arkansas. Mm-hmm. So, hi, Josh, if you're listening on the way to the airport. I'm sure you are.
Yes.
So we were, you found like a bunch of cool, like prepping for this show, you found a bunch of cool Catholic things. And not necessarily even Catholic, but just things to talk about on the show. And I like that it's a game called Rethink.
Yeah, conversation starters. You know, and the rationale behind me wanting to get that, I'm thinking, how many of us are on technology or on phones? Let's talk to each other, right? And get to know each other.
Or text each other. No.
Or bring some conversations home to our families.
Yeah. Well, how about this one? I'll pose this one to you. What makes someone a good friend?
Somebody that is there for you when you need them. Encouraging. Kind. You know, selfless. It really puts you first and makes you feel special.
Yeah.
Good times and bad times.
I think for me, it's a person who... Like you can count on, they're always going to be there. Mm-hmm. And even when you're having, when you're maybe not so pleasant or,
yes.
You know, not that you are never pleasant, Allison.
Oh,
I'm sure.
Sometimes am.
but it reminded me too, there's an episode of Honest to God. That's a show for young adults. And it's produced here at The Quest. And they had a show titled a few weeks ago called Band of Brothers. And they were talking about friendship and everything. And the one thing stuck out to me is a good friend is somebody who is going to call you out on something when you're not being, and especially if it's a Catholic friend.
Yeah.
That when you're not living up to where you should be or the standard that you should have, that's a good friend.
Yeah. Because they care about your soul.
Mm-hmm. So if you want to find that episode, there was a lot of good stuff there. It's called Band of Brothers. And one last one. We'll do this one. This one says, in a movie about our family, who would play each family member and why?
You start this one, Josh. You start this one, Dave.
Well, I think for me, whoever was going to play me in a movie, it would be one of three people, probably. Brad Pitt, Chris Hemsworth, or Ryan Gosling. One of those three.
Well, very nice. And it's so funny because when you ask me that question, I'm thinking of The Incredibles. I feel like Elastigirl, the mom who is constantly having to go everywhere. And my kids, yeah. Jack, whatever the other two are.
I didn't see that movie, so I don't know. But
it's a cute movie.
I'll trust you on that one.
Absolutely.
Dr. Ray Guarendi here. Coming up at 1 this afternoon on AM 1160, The Quest. Join me for The Doctor Is In. But now, it's back to The Morning Quest on your Atlanta Catholic Radio.
I am so excited to have Alan Austin here with me. He works for the Office of Evangelization and Discipleship here at the Archdiocese of Atlanta, and he is the ministry lead for campus and young adult ministry. Alan, welcome to The Quest.
Thank you for having me, Allison. I appreciate it.
Tell us a little about yourself and your journey in your faith and how this led you to work for the Archdiocese of Atlanta.
There's a long version. I'll give you the shorter, more abridged version. I grew up in Florida, and I grew up in a Baptist household. I didn't even know what a diocese was, much less an archdiocese back then. Kind of fell away from my faith, middle school, high school. I'm sure you've heard that story before.
Absolutely.
And then in college, I had two of my fraternity brothers were Catholic and were living their faith amongst the typical fraternity lifestyle. And they reached out to me. I went through kind of a rough spot in my life. I lost my mom and my best friend within like 13 months of each other.
Wow.
Yeah, just kind of went into a weird place and wondering if this was all there was to life and that sort of thing. And just really kind of looking for more, more purpose. These two guys reached out to me, really evangelized me, took me to a Catholic mass. I had only been to a couple of masses in my life at that point. Loved it. didn't know exactly what I was participating in, but I liked the fact that I was participating in something.
Yeah.
Went on this retreat and really felt God's presence for the first time in my life.
Praise God.
Wanted to get back and kind of serve on the retreat next year. And they said, well, you got to be Catholic to do that. And I said, okay, well, sign me up. You know, I'm thinking I'm going to come into the church on a Sunday and they're going to, you know, give me the secret handshake and put a pin on my chest and I'll be a Catholic. And they're like, well, it starts in September and it goes through the year and it's confirmed on Easter. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is a long time. But I did it because I really wanted to give back to the retreat. And then I just had an amazing experience in RCIA, the whole inquiry period, asking a lot of questions. I had already read some C.S. Lewis, which had really changed my life up until this point, and then ran into the history of the church and the fathers of the church and started reading Scott Hahn, and then it's just game over once you start reading Scott Hahn.
Oh, so yes.
Became Catholic and moved to Atlanta after college and left the corporate world about 5 years in to go become a youth minister full-time. Did that for 14 years. And then went to Pennsylvania to go work for Catholic media company Ascension. Came back to Atlanta in 2019 for the job here at the diocese. And believe it or not, that is the short version.
Wow. What a journey you've taken.
It's been good, yeah. It's been a roller coaster.
You know what? And I love how you were talking about RCIA. I mean, I've sponsored many people, and I feel like every cradle Catholic should go to that class. Go sponsor somebody, and you will absolutely learn a lot more.
It's good. It's a good process for sure.
Yeah. So what is the mission of the Office of Evangelization and Discipleship?
So the office exists to support the parish catechetical leader, and that would be a DRE, a youth minister, a campus minister, an adult minister, adult faith formation, anybody who works in evangelization and catechesis in the church, including pastors. So our role is to support them in their work. So my demographic, if you will, is campus ministry and young adult ministry. So we do work collaboratively. We help each other out with different projects. But for the most part, yeah, I focus on college campus and young adult leaders.
So what other types of events do you all plan or host for the young adults within our archdiocese?
I'm going to contradict myself, but we typically don't host a lot of events. We try to get out and empower, especially in the young adult world, empower young adults in their own community. And same thing with campus ministry, they have their own community, you know, on campus. And so we try and get out and do that around communities, whether it be a parish, a campus. There are a few regional young adult groups that kind of have two or three parishes that come together and form a regional young adult ministry. So we try to support them and empower them as much as we can. Having said that, I do a fall retreat every year for campus leadership. And so if you're on a leadership team at your college campus, we go away up to the teen camp up in Cove Crest and spend the weekend up there talking about servant leadership and what it is to, you know, serve in that role for your campus. We did something called an evangelization summit, and we talked about how the world is kind of moving from Christendom, where Christian values and morals and ethics kind of built Western civilization, and we're kind of moving away from that. And so there's a great book by Monsignor Shea called From Christendom to Apostolic Mission, and it talks about the need to kind of transition what we're doing to really get out there and do some outreach and evangelize. And so we kind of based our retreat on how do you do that? How do you evangelize to a skeptical and sometimes hostile world towards Christians? And so I thought it went really well. I think we're on to something. So yes, that was really good. And then we have what's called an echo retreat, and it is a retreat for young adults based on theology of the body.
Wow,
so
nice.
We bring in the echo community, who used to be called Dumox Ministries, comes in and helps lead that. I partner with Regnum Christi for the evangelization summit. That was definitely in partnership with them. A joint team effort to pull that off. Last year in September, we had the Rescue Project, which was for all of the archdiocese, and I think we had about 1,200 people came for that.
Yeah, that was marvelous. Yep. I attended. Yeah, Father John Ricardo is amazing.
I agree.
So what is the target age group of the young adult ministry?
So we follow the USCCB's guidelines, which is 18 to 39, which is a huge gap or difference, and there's obviously multiple different, you know, groups inside the exact college students. You have after college, you have kids who didn't go to college that are into the working force. You have singles, you have married with kids. So you really get a wide range of people. But generally, it's 18 to 39 is kind of what we follow. If that makes any sense at all.
No, it does. And it's so nice to hear that there are events out there for those age groups, because I think of regular CCD and then I think of Life Teen, and after Life Teen, people are in college. Yes, there are, you know, different ministries within college, but after that, what is out there for people? So it's so good to know that there are different organizations and different conferences that the Archdiocese is focusing on to tap into reaching those within the Atlanta area.
Yeah, definitely. They're like the forgotten crowd. A lot of young adults say, we don't feel like we're seeing in our parish. And then I talk to some parishes, and they're saying, we don't see our young adults. And I'm like, well, you guys need to talk.
Absolutely. Here you go. It's time to create that in the church. And, you know, and talking about that, parish that does not have a young adult ministry, what would the steps be to create one?
Wow, that's a great question. So the first thing I would say is just to pray. You know, it's God's ministry, and we're just here kind of facilitating. There's a website, generationatl.org. And that is my portion of the Archdiocese of Ministry for Campus Young Adult Ministry. And so on there are some resources, and there's a book on there about starting a young adult group. It's really good. I can also come out and talk with people and give them ideas and just kind of talk them through the process. But the first thing would be to pray, find something, another ministry in the church, maybe a rosary ministry or something where there are people that can just kind of pray for it constantly. And then I would say start small and do one thing and do it well. I think a lot of people try to do too much and they just get kind of burnt out. Mm-hmm. It's a tough area in general just because it's a time in people's lives where they're very transient and so they're moving around a lot. And so trying to build a community up can be difficult because people are kind of moving in and out all the time or they're getting married and taking jobs. But I think the first step, yeah, would just be to start small, figure out what it is you want to do, who you want to reach. And there's, you know, different elements of, do you want it to be a more social community? Do you want it to be more discipleship? Is it more really trying to evangelize young adults that are working in the business world and discipling those that are trying to live their faith, their work environment? There's so many different areas and you could focus on. I think the first thing is to figure out what do people need the most and do it well. And then you can slowly start to kind of build from there.
That is great information. So where could we get more information about the Office of Evangelization and Discipleship, Campus and Young Adult Ministries, or getting in touch with you?
Yeah, so my email is aaustin@archatl.com. If you go to the archatl.com website, Arch Atlanta website, and click on offices and then click on evangelization and discipleship, it'll tell you all the things that are happening there. Or you can go straight to generationatl.org, which has what's happening in Atlanta, both young adult groups and college ministry. We also post on our Facebook page and Instagram page upcoming events. We post on Tuesdays for the upcoming events in the young adult land on there as well.
Wonderful. Well, Alan, thank you so much for sharing your ministry with us.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
I'm Dave Savage in for Josh Harris. And Allison is here with us this morning as well. Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah. So what's going on here, Allison? We got some stuff coming up, don't we?
Well, we do. And, you know, and coming off that wonderful conversation with Alan Austin, we've got some young adult ministry events coming up. At St. Benedict's is hosting a volleyball game and social this Wednesday, September 25th. That'll be fun. Christ the
King. That's tomorrow.
That is tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Christ the King, their 2030-something social. Georgia State Fair is this Saturday, September 28th, 3 p.m. at Jim Miller Park in Marietta. Mm-hmm. Another fun event. St. Peter Chanel is hosting a Theology on Tap for young adults at Six Bridges Brewery in Crabapple next week, October the 2nd at 6:30. And I don't know if you've been to that brewery before.
No.
But the parishioner, Clay, is a parishioner at St. Michael's. He and his father actually founded that. So great place to support Catholic and a great location. Mm-hmm. And then next week, October 4th, Pack the Chapel at Christ the King. There's a holy hour every first Friday from 8 to 9. So that'll be fun for all the young adults out there.
Yeah, excellent.
And then do not forget about St. Francis of Assisi Eucharistic Miracles Display that is going to be at Cartersville, Georgia this Saturday. And again, the first class relic of Blessed Carlo Acutis.
Mm-hmm. And then later today on The Quest, we've got, I know, one thing I know, Father John Ricardo is going to be at noon.
You do know that. And if you have not listened to him, listen, and he is absolutely amazing. We have Catholic Connection next with host Vanessa De Logarmo. She's going to be talking with Dr. Joseph Hollicraft, chats with her about the book he co-authored, Contemplating the Seven Sorrows of Mary. And also 10 o'clock, More to Life with Greg and Lisa Popcheck. Listen to this. Out of Bounds. Are others pushing boundaries with you? They are there to help set healthy limits. So that'll be a great one to listen to.
Sounds good. Well, tomorrow Josh is going to be broadcasting this show from Arkansas. So we look forward to hearing how his event went tonight.
Amen. And thanks a bunch for having a breakfast with us. And we are hoping you have wonderful joy in the journey.